What's up, y'all? This is Astro Dim here, speaking about the topic of the month. What up? What up? What up? Even though there's no R in up, but whatever, okay? I'm here to talk about... Oh my God, I have noise in the background. Sorry about that, y'all. hopefully, y'all guys didn't hear that for the lovely instrumental in the background. Yes, yes. Vibe out. But listen, topic of the month is very late. I apologize. This Mercury retrograde has been nuts. Mercury retrograde affects me a lot. My fifth house is in Gemini, and my Mercury is conjunct my sun. So I really get affected by that energy. Okay. And Pisces energy is really sensitive to me too. So yeah, I have a chunk of Pisces in my first house, like most of it, honestly, even though Aquarius rising. So yeah, that just really affects the body for me. So yeah. I apologize, but the topic of the month is Setna. Yes, y'all, Setna. Setna is a dwarf planet, was once called an asteroid, but it's a dwarf planet. It was first seen astronomically by Michael Brown in 2003, and at first people thought it was an asteroid, but then they saw it, they were like, actually this is a dwarf planet. Around the same time, I think they found Ceres as well as a couple of other planets. And so it was really interesting because, you know, it was a dwarf planet, but at the same time, you know, because it was like, you know, revolving around the sun and stuff, they're like, could this be like a planet? Like, could we add it as a planet in our solar system? The conversation ceased. I don't know if they even made an actual like decision on that. The conversation just stopped being had, apparently. But Setna was one of the dwarf planets of planets that was being considered to be the planet in our solar system. So it was really, really interesting. And I'm going to have a question concerning that whole idea. So definitely stay tuned. Listen to the end. Because I would really love to hear your side of things and your opinion, okay? But let's talk about the mythology because, you know, in order for you to understand how to interpret a asteroid, a planet, a dwarf planet, a cosmic body at all, it's very important to get the essence of what it was named after, okay? And get the essence of the story, of the myth, of the legend, so you can have a feel of how to interpret it. That's always how I interpret things. You know, I don't just throw stuff in the air and just be like, it means this. You have to really get into the root of the actual myth and situation. Sometimes there's many versions of it, right? But get to the root of it to really create an interpretation. And when you do create that interpretation, you know, that's you contributing to astrology, which is beautiful. You know what I mean? You guys have seen, I've done it with many other asteroids and many other dwarf planets and have my own idea of it. So, you know, just know that you can do the same. Okay. So let's talk about Setna, the myth, right? And then towards the end, I'll definitely talk about, overall lessons and my overall interpretation of Setna. And then, you know, I might talk about a possible mini reading that I'll do for it if you're interested. Okay. Okay. So Setna is an Inuit goddess. And Inuits are what people used to wrongly call Eskimos. They are the aboriginals of the northern Arctic parts of the Americas. That's Inuit folks. And Setna was the goddess of the sea, mistress of the sea, and the goddess of all sea creatures in the underworld. Okay, if you're interested in seeing where Setna is in your chart, the asteroid number is 90377, which is hilarious because I've been seeing those string of numbers in different forms and different ways for a while. So I really was supposed to talk about Setna this month. So I want to dedicate this actual, you know, podcast slash article, audio article, to, you know, all the children who were harmed in any way by their caretakers, their parents, their guardians, okay? Especially the ones who may have lost their lives because of it. You'll understand why later. Setna had to go through some fuck shit in a similar manner. I just want you guys to realize the ones that are living and the ones who are deceased on this plane, but souls are around, that you are not forgotten. You will never be forgotten. And you have the ability to have the essence and the power of Setna as well. Okay. All right. So yeah, like I was saying, Setna was the mother of the sea, a straight up sea goddess, right? But she was a human at first, or kind of human-esque. There's different versions of the Setna story. And some say that she was the god, the daughter of a giant god named Inkuta. Inkuta was the creator god. And he like created everything, right? which was make her like the mother, like have the creator type energy too. That's why she was the mother of the sea. And a lot of the interpretations of her story, she created a lot of the sea animals. You know, it's in her blood to do so, right? But some versions of the story would say that her father was like a really skilled hunter, very got his stuff together, you know what I mean, had money, was very successful, and so they lived very well, her and her family. There's many versions in which, you know, her mom and dad was around. There's many versions where her mom passed away, you know, it's just her and her father, which is the version that I'm aware of the most, you know what I mean. But you know, a lot of the times she really desired her home, and desired her life at home so much that she didn't want to marry. You know what I mean? And she was known as being like very, very beautiful, very gorgeous. So, you know, that's actually a very important part of the story too. But I'm going to, you know, definitely, after I say a couple of things, well, one last thing, I'm going to tell you my version that I'm more aware of Setna. And then I'm going to talk about the multiple versions and how they differ. But there's a common theme that we're going to talk about towards the end, okay? But before I go say that, you know, Setna is actually known across that whole Arctic region of the Americas. And even some of the indigenous people along the coast of America, in the deeper parts of it, right? So, but they call her different names. So sometimes some of them call him Setna, some of them call her Noriyayok, and others call her Nuliayak. I'm butchering the fuck out of this, huh? Sorry. Nuliayak. And there's many different names too that were very long, beautiful names. But she, you know, she's not just known as Setna. So if you hear like similar names, a similar story with a different name, it's most likely Setna. You know what I mean? But anyways, I want to talk about my version first that I'm more aware of. And honestly, I intuitively feel that is the correct version on a deeper soul level. But I will also talk about the other versions too, okay? So Setna was had, like, you know, her parents lived with her parents. She was young, she was beautiful. Now it makes the most sense that her parent was a god, right? Because again, you know, she had the power to create other beings. But you know, I feel like if we can all tap into that, it's kind of like the Christ consciousness vibes. I feel like we can all tap into being creators as well. You know, we are all as good as Jesus if we strive to do it. It's kind of like the Christ consciousness thing. So I feel like, you know, she doesn't necessarily have to be one, but the story that I've heard, her father was like a skilled, very wealthy hunter, but you know, it will make sense that, you know, she's a daughter of a god, the creator god, right? But anyways, you know, she was regardless in a well set up home type of situation, right? She had both of, the version I know, her mother passed away. She didn't have her mother. But some versions, she had both parents. But again, stick two to my version, all right? So it was her and her dad, right? She lost her mom. I think she lost her mom. Her mom was giving birth to her, and that's how she lost her mom. But it was her and her dad. And her and her dad had to have that trauma bond. Was very, very close. She was happy with her dad and what her dad provided for her. Her dad spoiled her a lot. She was known for being very beautiful. Very, like, just dipped. You know what I mean? Her clothes were fire. She was beautiful. She got everything that she wanted. She had the best foods, the best everything, because her father provided for her. And she was really, really close to her dad. She adored her father. All right. And, you know, she was so, so beautiful that she had many, many, many men coming around trying to holler, trying to marry her. And of course, in back in those days, the tradition was, okay, you know, the father will seek these people out, see if they fit, you know, he feels like they're best for her, and he'll like agree with it. She'll get to see if she, you know, likes the dude, and it goes on from there. And so they will go to her father, go to her, be like, you're beautiful, I would love to, you know, move things further along with us. And, you know, her father would be down for it, you know, going along tradition, but Sedna would turn every single man down. There was always a reason for her. She was very picky. There was always a reason why they weren't good enough. Okay. Very, very picky. But a big thing about this too is that she had that trauma bond with her dad, with her losing her mom. She had a closeness to her dad. And she didn't want to leave her dad. She didn't want to leave how she was living. You know, she was comfortable with her situation. And, you know, she just didn't want to go and do that, right? And so her father was really, really, like, getting annoyed. Like, listen, you have all these eligible bachelors trying to holler at you. You're beautiful. You know, won't you just go ahead and marry? You know, fall tradition. She's like, I don't want to. And her father gets really, really angry. And in some twisted, weird way, her father was like, you know what? You know, all these years you're not hollering at these people. Find and go marry a dog. And forced her to marry a dog. Yes, I know, strange, but that's what her father did. And she's like, are you serious? Like, you're really going to make me do that? And some legends too, apparently, you know, she actually was like, all right, I guess I got to marry a dog. And she ended up giving birth to half human, half dog species. Okay. And her father was like so appalled, so disgusted. Mind you, he's the one that forced her to do this. It's so strange. Listen, weird as shit, but so strange. And you're going to see this weird theme with her father in his parenting, child. But anyway, he, like, you know, he's the one that forced her. He was trying to punish her and try to shame her into marrying somebody and force her to marry the dog. But then, like, she ended up giving birth to, like, dog babies. It was really strange. And he got mad, even though he forced the whole situation. So he was so ashamed, pissed off, and annoyed that he actually threw her out. Kicked her out the house. Straight up. Now, this is a girl who had everything that she wanted and more. Talk about freaking 9 of cups, 10 of cups vibes, okay? Was very happy at home. Was very catered to. And she ended up being kicked out, being homeless, being poor, feeling abandoned, you know what I mean? Being by herself and just was like alone. And so she started to think like, damn, like maybe I should have listened to my father. Maybe I should have married one of these fools. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to have that, but maybe I should have just went for it, you know? And so she's like wandering around. She can't go back home. And she just lives on the streets for a while. Then she goes meets this man, right? And this man, he is like dipped out too.
nicest clothes, handsome, got his shit together, you know, seems like a little Renaissance man, right? Intelligent. He notices Sedna. I was like, Sedna, goddamn, girl, you're looking good. Won't you back that ass up? He's a fine motherfucker. Won't you back that ass up? Call me Big Daddy. Okay, stop. All right, but seriously, he was like, you know, wow, you know, you're beautiful. I would love for you to be my wife. You know, can we have some holleration in this dancery? You know what I mean? Like, can I holler? Can we figure this out? And, you know, Sedna was like, well, you know, I ain't feeling nothing for him. I ain't feeling no chemistry, no romance, but he's handsome and he looks rich. He says he's rich. And, you know, hey, maybe I could just have some comfort. Since my dad won't give me the life that I had before, maybe I could just marry this dude, have a similar life, be straight, you know, and I'll be all right. So he smooth talked away into, you know, marrying Sedna. Then she comes, she comes to his house and whatever, and he's actually a bum. Okay, he's actually a bum. I don't know how, but he got his hands into some nice clothes, took a bath that day, I guess. Took a bath that week and convinced Sedna. And, you know, she's like, goes to his house and he's like a straight up bum. I know in some versions he's actually like a man, a bird man or a crow man, or like he's a man slash bird basically. And so a lot of versions, like he took her back to his island or his nest or his something. And she realized, well, wow, I got fucking played. This dude lied to me. He ain't rich. He ain't settled. He ain't good. You know what I mean? Like, the fuck? And so she got played and it was really disappointing to her. And she's like, man, like, this motherfucker lied to me. Like, what the hell? And so she's just like, really sad, really disappointed. And so, you know, she ends up running away. The thing is too, is like, while she was there, first she was trying to be like, okay, let me just tough this shit out, right? But he was being really mean to her, damn near abusive, just like really like tough and ridiculous and disgusting. And she's just like, she just so wasn't used to that life. Like, she's like, man, I'd rather be fucking homeless again than like, goddamn, right? And so, you know, she found a way to run away. She runs away, and strange enough, bumps into her dad. And I don't, like, there's some versions that she went back to her dad's house, there's some versions that her dad went to rescue her. I mean, if her dad's a god, it would make sense that he would rescue her because he would hear her. But, you know, one way or another, she goes and, like, you know, runs into her dad. I heard another version too, actually, that says that people were talking about it and word got to her dad and her dad came to try to rescue her, right? So regardless, right, her dad is like, shit, I don't want you living like this. Like, come on, I got you, right? And so, you know, he goes into a kayak and was like, listen, we're going to run out. We're going to go back home. Like, fuck this shit. You ain't going to live like this. F all that, right? And so they come trying to swim away in the kayak, right? The bird man or the man or whatever, the smooth talker that's actually a bum ass nigga, right? That he comes through and he's like, nah, I'm gonna get her back. And so he's like being forceful, he's being ridiculous. They're like, you know, fighting through the kayaks. You know, depending on the different version that you see, he has other people with him and it's becoming like this big thing. And he's like, her husband is being relentless and not letting go. And the father was like, well, shit, I'm not dealing with this shit no more. Right. Throw Sedna off the boat. Mind you, he was there to rescue her in the first place. Throws her off the boat and was like, listen, just take her. God damn. Like, I'd rather not deal with this. His own daughter. She's like, no, dad. Again, Sedna is a daddy's girl. No matter what he did to her, daddy's girl. Love her dad. Like, dad, no. She's grabbing on to the boat
right? Was like, please don't do this to me. He takes a knife, cuts off her fingers, so she won't grab onto the boat no more. And she falls down to the sea to drown. However, because of her energy and her power, she ends up transforming into a sea goddess. But also the fingers that she has turns into a lot of sea animals, specifically sea mammals, such as whales, walruses, sea lions, otters, all the sea mammals, you know what I mean? And many different versions of sea animals. And, you know, through that, she turns into the sea goddess, right? And the thing is, though, within her be turning into the sea goddess, you know, I'm seeing this, it's funny, I'm seeing the number 333, and I'm also seeing the number 355, which is interesting. So the Ascended Masters are with me. She might be an Ascended Master, I wouldn't be surprised. So hey, Sedna, baby. Love you, girl. So this is actually interesting because, I don't know, like, there's a lot of interesting correlations and synchronicities, and I think there is a reason why I'm saying this story at this specific time to you guys, okay? And I'll talk about that later on in towards the end of this episode. But anyways, you know, she turns into the sea goddess magically, which I do feel like shows that the it could be, you know, her having this connection to being a god, but also shows the power that you can have from within to transform to what you want to be, or maybe how traumatic situations can cause you to be like a phoenix. Like, yes, you die and you turn into ashes, but the ashes turn into like a phoenix and you're all set, you know what I mean? You turn into this new being. So it kind of gives me that type of vibe, right? But anyways, she turns into a sea goddess. All her fingers turned into, you know, different sea animals, right? She's literally like a mermaid now. However, you know, Sedna is a very touchy, vengeful, heartbroken still energy, entity. And, you know, Sedna will definitely help and provide and support, but she did not get properly nurtured and supported. You know what I mean? There's this saying that's deep within astrology, but in other like ancient wisdom and teachings too, that says that basically, you know, the feminine parent is the one that nurtures you emotionally, that supports you emotionally, that gets you closer to God, that makes you understand your inner intuition, right? Feminine energy is very internal. Feminine energy is all about, you know, getting what you want subtly, right? So of course, you know, the nurturing parent, the quote unquote mother, but just whatever, it doesn't have to be, or the feminine parent doesn't have to be feminine, but the nurturing parent provides that, as the father is the one that teaches you, kind of pushes you to have your own personality, your persona, your appearance, teaches you how to express yourself, teaches you how to be external in your self-expression, get what you want by being direct. You know what I mean? Asserting yourself in certain ways. They help you build your personality and your persona pretty much, right? To be, and not to be like them, but to understand your own personality persona and to do what you have to do externally to get what you want, right? And you have to think about it. Like, she didn't have her mother, at least from the version of the story that I know. And so, you know, she didn't have the ability. She's coming from a standpoint where she has this like masculine energy pushing her and pushing her and pushing her to do things externally.
But yet, you know, she didn't get nurtured. She didn't get the love and support that she needed on the feminine side. And so, you know, she has a lot of pain. She has a lot of sadness from, you know, being backstabbed in many different ways by her parent. And so she's very touchy. Sometimes Senda is like dealing with Senda's walking on eggshells. She's hurt, but she still is loving. You know, she loves the sea animals that she created. She loves, you know, the sea. She loves, obviously, animals. You know what I mean? Even the land animals. She's very supportive. She loves people, but she's been hurt. So she's very, very touchy. There's this thing with Setna that says that, you know, Setna really shakes up the ocean and gets pissed off and like really causes storms and within the ocean when her hair is tangled and she just wants someone to brush her hair. She just wants someone to like take care of her and nurture her. She never had it. I don't know why I'm being emotional. This shit's sad. This shit's mad sad like that. I don't know. My heart just felt something. It's really sad, man. Like, she just wanted to be nurtured and she couldn't even get that. You know? And so there's many different things that a lot of people within the Inuit and within, you know, that area, you know, the Northwest, you know, a lot of things that they do to support Setna and try to give her love to. And, you know, of course they're doing it because they're like, well, I don't want Senna to cause this storm in the tribe. You know, I'm not trying to have her wild out. This bitch is crazy. You know what I mean? Like, of course they're on that vibe. But the thing is, though, is that they actually care about Senna too, because Senna does provide. But Senna has this vibe of too, of like, listen, I'm going to get with what I want because relying on people didn't work for me that well. I got highly disappointed in many different ways. So if I have to wild the fuck out to get what I want from you people, I will do it. So it's very deep. So before I get into the deeper interpretation of this, I do want to talk about the many different versions that I heard of Setna. The version I just told you is the main one that I've heard, the main one that I'm connected to, the main one that I intuitively am like bonded with. And the thing is that like Setna is not really at a, you know, deep like part of my chart in which I'm like extremely intuitive with, like, you know, when it comes to asteroids, I feel like different aspects to asteroids are important, but if an asteroid is conjunct one of your personal planets, I think that's when you can really get in tune with the energy. So that's why I was able to really get in tune with Lilith energy and tell y'all my version of the myth. This is why I can really get connected with the Persephone version, the Persephone energy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm able to really speak on it because of the connection that I have. But you know, I do have a little something with Setna. Like, Setna's opposite my Pluto. You know what I mean? That's a little something, right? Setna is, kind of square. I say kind of because it's at a 4-degree orb. And when it comes to asteroids, I only use 3-degree orbs. But Setna's kind of square my, you know, ascendant and descendant. You know what I mean? Kind of. Setna is kind of square my Vesta. Setna's trine my asteroid Lilith, right? There goes that masculine energy fucking up again, right? And that says a lot, actually, when I think about it. Oh, actually, no. Setna doesn't trine my asteroid Lilith. I lied. Setna trines my vertex. And Setna trines my karma. That's really interesting. Huh. Senda also definitely trines my Neptune. So it's really interesting. I was connected to my my outer planets. But anyway, and Senda also trines my Pallas Athena. Man, when I think about it, it really makes sense. But anyways, the closest one is Senda trining my Neptune, Senda opposite my Pluto. So I have a connection to it, especially with me having so much collective sign energy and collective house energy. you know, 10th, 11th, 12th in Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces, I have a lot of that energy. So, you know, it makes sense that I'm connected to that. You know, to Setna a bit. But anyways, you know, I want you guys again to plug in 377 to see where Setna is in your chart. And I'm going to like later on describe how Setna can play out in your life. I'm not going to go through the signs, no. You can get a mini reading for me if you're interested in that. But see where Setna is. Is it conjunct something special in your chart? I'll be interested in seeing that and hearing about it, okay? But let me talk about the different versions of Setna. Let me do that, all right? So, in one version of Setna, her father decides not to feed Setna. She gets mad. All right, guys. So, one other thing I do like to add in this situation too is that Setna has, you know, is very slow moving. Okay, Setna is extremely slow moving, and Setna has been in Taurus for the longest time. So most likely your Setna is in Taurus. So you got to see, you know, housewives, where Setna falls, because, you know, if you use Placidus, like, again, I like to say this, like, whole sign kind of shows you the external world is laid out. Equal sign shows you, like, how you perceive things as a human, is in your human form, very first layer type of thinking. And then, like, Placidus is like your psyche, your inner self, how you are karmically connected into this life. Like, it gets a little bit deeper. That's why I like to use Placidus. And it also shows the external world as well, and blah blah blah. So, and shows self as well. So, you know, you can use any chart type that you're interested in, that you like. All of them are very valid, all of them are very important. But see where Setna is on your chart. All right, see where it falls. Like, it's going to be in the Taurus side of things, but hey, maybe in your Placidus, Taurus is in your first and your second. Maybe in Placidus, Taurus is in your seventh and your eighth, you know? Like, see where it is, you know? And then we can kind of do the interpretations. Another interesting thing too is that I'm leaning more for Setna to be representative of Taurus, but maybe it's because right now Setna is in Taurus. You feel what I'm saying? And so that's why I would love to hear you guys' thoughts on Setna. You know, I'm still sticking to that whole Setna possibly being in Taurus, or Setna being in Setna representing the Taurus archetype, or even Setna, you know, connected possibly even to the Scorpio archetype. Still connected to that for sure. But, you know, I would love to hear what you guys have to say. I feel like what you guys have to say is very important too. Yeah, I do. All right. So let's have this conversation. It'll be lovely. I think Setna has been in Taurus since possibly the 60s, y'all. Yeah, that's a long time. Yeah, it looks like it's been around it's been in Taurus since the mid to late 60s. So yeah, it's been there for a while. It's still there. It's at the late degrees of Taurus. I wonder how people that had Setna in Aries, how they feel about Setna. But the thing is that the myth is the myth is the myth. You know what I'm saying? And you think about it too, Setna was discovered while Setna was in Taurus. So I'm just saying, like, I feel like it's saying that, hey, we finally see it. It's the closest to the sun. It is visible in Taurus. It's like, is visible to us in Taurus because that's where it's supposed to live. You get what I'm saying? Just something to think about. Who knows? But anyways, I just wanted to add that part there. If you are interested in hearing the rest of what I have to say, I talk about the multiple versions of Setna, how they all connect, the astrological connections, and how it may play out in people's charts if Setna's in prominent parts in people's charts. I talk about, you know, my interpretation of Setna. I say a lot, all right? And so if you're interested in hearing that whole thing, it's about an hour long episode, or hour long audio article, go to astrodim.space slash Cosmic Life blog, or just go to like astrodim.space and go to the Cosmic Life blog. It's going to be in one of the main, you know, menus, right? And then check out the latest blog and it'll be there. Okay, so thank you for listening, and I hope you have a lovely, lovely, lovely day. All right, peace out. Bye.